I'd like to turn this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Book of Revelation, chapter 1. I'd like to read verse 18. Revelation 1, verse 18. Jesus is doing the speaking. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. In verse 9, John describes the circumstances and the conditions surrounding him. He says there that he was in an island or on an island that is called Patmos. The reason he was there was for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, John was not on some exotic island on a vacation. He had been banished there because of his stand, because of his faithfulness to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was sentenced to exile on this island of Patmos. At this time, John had to be close to 90 years old. And there he is, exiled, separated from other believers. Yet the thing that amazes me about verse 9 is he speaks of it being exiled to Patmos almost incidentally, as if it were no big deal. It's the only thing he says about it, only thing he mentions. He just mentions it in passing. Because in the overall scheme of things, what happened to him really wasn't important. And you know, that's true of us too. That's not my message today, but what happens to us in the overall scheme of things really isn't that important. Now, I know that comes as a shock to some, but it's true. And I believe that's why John just mentioned it. Life's not about our circumstances. Life's not about our situations. He goes on to say that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And it was while he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day that he heard a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Verses 10 and 11. Having heard that voice, he turned to see. And what he saw was Jesus Christ. And beginning with verse 13, he describes the Christ that he saw. Now, John was very familiar with the appearance of Christ. He spent his earthly ministry with Christ. Now, beginning with verse 17, John records the effect upon himself as a result of what he saw. He says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And may I say, no one has ever seen had Christ revealed to them and walked away the same. John fell at his feet as dead. And he, Jesus Christ, laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. John knew all about the death of Christ. He was there. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. We want to take the thought of the message today from those two phrases, I am he that liveth and I am alive forevermore. Speak this morning on the subject of because he lives. And in the overall scheme of things, that's what's really important. It's not that you and I live. That's not what's important. What's important is that he lives. We want to see how Christ presented himself to John. And then we want to see what it means to you and I today. But first of all, let's notice how Jesus Christ presented himself to John. He presented himself, first of all, as one who was dead. I am he that liveth and was, past tense, dead. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, voluntarily went to the cross with the sins of his people in order to pay a debt that you and I could not pay. And he voluntarily laid down his life on our behalf. And in so doing, Jesus Christ literally suffered. It was not a figurative suffering. Jesus Christ literally suffered. And Jesus Christ literally died. He literally died. He really, truly died. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, Paul says, Christ died for our sins. Again, he did not do that figuratively. He literally died. Paul went on to write in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4, he was buried. He literally died, and he was literally buried. This is not figurative. This is literal. Jesus Christ was dead. And Jesus Christ was in the grave, in the tomb. I am he that was dead. Jesus Christ presents himself here as alive from the dead. He said to John, I am he that liveth and was dead. Again, Jesus Christ took the sins of his people upon himself. He went to the cross. He literally died. And the motionless, lifeless body of Jesus Christ was taken down from that cross and put into a tomb. But that's not all. That's not where it ends. Because Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead. So something happened. Something happened after Jesus Christ died. You see, Jesus today is not just a historical figure. All who have died are historical figures. Jesus is not a historical figure. Because Jesus says, I liveth. He that liveth. He rose from the dead. He came forth from the dead. The angel said to the women who came to the tomb, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, past tense, but he's not here, for he's risen. Now it would have been a terrible, terribly sad message had the angel said, I know that you seek Jesus, but he's not here. That would have left the question forever, where is he? But that's not where it ended. He's not here, for he is risen. The angel gave a message of hope. The angel gave a message of life, a message of victory. He's not here. He's risen. The angel went on to say, as he said, he is risen, as he said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He is the now risen Christ. So here we are, April 12th, year 2009. And Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead. He says that today. We do not serve a Christ upon the cross. That's not where it ended. We do not serve a Christ in the grave. The cross is empty. The grave is empty. The grave clothes are empty. We serve a Christ that is risen. One that has come out of the tomb. One that has conquered death. We serve a living Christ. We serve a living Savior. One who is full of power, full of love, full of compassion, full of sympathy. He is my Savior. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. Can you hear? Has John heard? Has the voice of a trumpet? I am he that liveth. I am he that liveth. We need to hear that voice today. We need to believe that today. So Christ presents himself as one who literally died. And Christ presents himself as one who lives. But then he goes on and he presents himself as alive from the dead. Never to die again. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He's not just saying to John, I am living. He says more than that. He's not just saying, I have risen from the grave. I have risen from the dead. He says, I am alive forever. I am alive forevermore. Jesus Christ is living. But perhaps even more importantly, he is forever alive. Never to die again. Notice two words there in Revelation 1 verse 18. The word liveth and the word alive. Jesus says, I liveth. And Jesus says, I am alive. Now, to be living, to be alive is to be breathing. It is to be breathing. It is to be vital. It is to be functioning. It is to be existing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is vital. He's functioning. He's existing. And he will forever be that way. He is forever alive. So it's more than just the fact that he came from the grave. He says, behold, I am alive forevermore. And he put the word behold there because when you use the word behold, he's calling our attention to something extraordinary. He's calling our attention to something momentous. And what is momentous here is I am alive, but not only am I am alive forever. And not only am I alive forever, I am alive more than that. I am alive forever more. Now, how can you be more alive than forever? But that's what he said. He said, I am alive forever, and I love that word more. It goes beyond forever. You'll never die. And that's where I place today all of my hope. Upon the one who is alive forever. And then more than that. He is alive forever and he is alive beyond even that. Christ. Jesus Christ. Who has the keys we see here in verse 18. Of hell and death lives and is alive forevermore. He has the keys. Keys represent ownership. Keys represent dominion. Keys represent authority. Keys represent control. The one who has the keys, he's in charge. And Jesus Christ says, I live. I am forever alive and more than that. And not only that, I have the keys. In other words, I'm in charge. And may I say he's in charge forever. And may I say he's in charge beyond forever. He's in charge forevermore. So the one who's in charge, he liveth. And he is alive forevermore. He has the keys of hell. He has the keys of death. In other words, he is the sovereign monarch over death. He is the sovereign monarch over hell. He is the sovereign monarch over the grave. He is able to deliver from the fear of death. He is able to deliver from the torments of hell. And he liveth and he is alive forevermore. He is Lord. He is King. His dominion extends to all the universe, even death and even hell. He is forever alive. That's who we serve today. But then consider these words of verse 18. I am he that liveth and am alive forevermore. Consider those words in the light of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners. Jesus Christ, the one and only hope for those who are dead in trespasses and sins. The one and only hope for those who are alienated from God. The one and only hope for those who are under the power and the dominion of sin. The one and only hope of those who are under the condemnation of God. He says, I am he that liveth. The only hope that you have today as a sinner before God is Jesus Christ. And he says, I am he that liveth. And not only that, I'm alive forever. And even beyond that. Jesus Christ, the only one in whom the sinner can have forgiveness. The only one in whom the sinner can find acceptance with God. He lives. And he is alive forever. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived. For he's God. Jesus Christ, the most dominant personality of all time. Jesus Christ, the most outstanding individual, the most important individual, the most significant individual. He lives. And he is alive forevermore. Jesus Christ, the creator, the architect, and the sustainer of the universe. Liveth and is alive forevermore. Jesus Christ, the consolation of his people. Jesus Christ, the deliverer of sinners. The only door into the presence of God. Jesus Christ, the great high priest. The only mediator between God and man. The only advocate that anyone has before God the Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the heir of all things. The great I am. The very image of God. The very Lamb of God. Jesus Christ. The life that all need. Jesus Christ, the light that all need. Jesus Christ, the righteousness that all stand in need of. Jesus Christ, the one and only Redeemer. Jesus Christ, the Shepherd and Bishop of souls. Jesus Christ, the only way to God. There is no other way to God. Man has been trying to come up with all sorts of ways to God, but Jesus Christ says, I am the way. Truth and the life. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ liveth. And Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ, God Himself, very clearly and distinctly says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and am alive forevermore. This is literal. Jesus Christ is literally alive. That Jesus Christ liveth is a fact. That Jesus Christ liveth is real. And He lives for me. He not only lives for me, He lives for me never, ever to die again. It's more than a fact. It's a force. It's a force in my life. It's a force in your life that Jesus Christ lives. It's not just something we read as an historical fact. It is a force. It is a force in our lives, and it is a force in the world today. That Jesus Christ lives. And He's alive forevermore. The one who has all power in heaven and earth. The one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lives for me. Never ever to die. He who knows all things. He who is the owner of all things. He upon whom my eternal well-being depends entirely. He lives. And He is alive forevermore. You and I today live in the midst of that which is perishing. Everything around us is perishing. We live in the midst of all that is fading and passing away. And you can look at the person next to you. I'm telling you, they're passing away. They're fading. They're perishing. It's true of all of us. It's true about everything in this world. That is a fact of life. We die. And we are in the process of dying. But in the midst of all that is perishing, in the midst of all that is fading, in the midst of all that is perishing, there is a voice as of a trumpet that says, I am He that liveth, and I'm alive forevermore. Oh, we need to hear that voice. So what does all of this mean for you and I? Well, it means that I can have confidence. I can have assurance. I can have peace because I know that Jesus Christ lives. And He lives for me. He died for me. He was buried for me. He arose for me. He ascended back to heaven for me. And He's coming again for me. It's all for me. And now I know that in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trials, in the midst of sorrows, in the midst of afflictions, in the midst of sickness and disease and adversities, in the midst of strifes, in the midst of battles and struggles and temptations, in the midst of it all is that voice saying, I am He that liveth. And I am alive forevermore. What does that mean? That means I can face all the difficulties and trials and sorrows. I can face them all. I can face all the obstacles. I can face all the mountains, all the valleys, all the giants, and I can do so with confidence, with assurance, and with peace and courage, knowing that He lives. Knowing that He is alive forevermore. And knowing that the one who lives, knowing that the one who is alive forevermore has said to me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because He lives, the song says, I can face tomorrow. That's true. I don't know what's going to happen today, let alone tomorrow. But knowing what I know, and if I can remember what I know, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And as we look at our future, as far as the world is concerned, tomorrow's not all that promising, folks. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. He not only lives, he forever lives. And he's our guide. He's our helper. He's our sustenance. He's our caregiver. He's our provider. He's our defender. When I am at my very neediest point, he, Jesus Christ, is the most sufficient. When I am completely helpless, he isn't. He never is. You might be helpless today, but he isn't. When you and I are totally dependent, and we ought to be, he is absolutely dependable. And he lives. And he forever lives. When I am at my very weakest, he's able. He's still able. And when you are all by yourself, when you're all alone, he's present. It's always so. And I know that'll be so tomorrow, because he's alive forevermore. When you feel that you are the least, don't forget, he's the greatest. He's the greatest. And he's the one that you can lean upon. When you feel that you're useless, just remember, he has everything you need. And he is alive forevermore. When all seems dark, he's the only light you need. And he's alive. When you feel the least secure, he's your rock. He's your fortress. And when you can't, he can. He can. Isn't it good to know that that individual lives? But even better than that, is it good to know that that individual will always live? Your husband, your wife may be the security of your life, but I want you to know one day they may be gone. It's good to know the one that has everything I need, he's never going to be gone. He is alive forevermore. And because he lives, I'll never have to take a step alone in this world. Don't have to. I may do it, but I don't have to. I never have to take a step alone in this world. Because he lives, there's hope. Because he lives, there's help. Help that man cannot give. Because he lives, it can be well with your soul. We sang that song earlier, "It is well with my soul," and I pray that it is. But you may be here today and it's not well with your soul. But I want you to know, because he lives, it can be well with your soul. It's possible. Because he lives, the song says, life is worth the living. Because he lives. It's never in vain to serve Christ. You'll never waste your life serving Christ, because he lives forever. It is never, ever in vain to worship Christ. You'll never waste your life. You'll never waste time worshiping Christ. I try to be very conscious of time when I'm preaching. And the main reason is because people's attention span only goes so far and then you're just wasting your breath. It's not because I think you have something better to do. It's not because I think I'm keeping you from something more important. Because there isn't anything more important. And there isn't anything better to do. Because he lives, it's never in vain to preach Christ. It's never in vain to be surrendered to Christ. It's never in vain to be dedicated to Christ. Because he lives, my sin debt is paid in the full. And I rejoice every day that my sin debt has been paid. It was a debt that I could not pay. It was a debt that was beyond my ability. I'm telling you, it's been paid. It's paid in full. And it's guaranteed because he lives, and it will be forever guaranteed. And it goes beyond forever because he forever lives and more. My sin debt is paid. And because he lives, your sin debt can be paid. Because he lives, there is victory. When Jesus Christ was crucified upon the cross, it appeared to the world that they had conquered Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ came out of that tomb victorious over the world. And because he lives, he's still victorious over the world. It appeared that the devil had the victory when Jesus Christ drew his last breath. It appears that the devil had won. But when Jesus Christ came forth out of the tomb, when Jesus Christ came forth from death, the devil was a defeated foe. He has victory. When Christ was crucified upon the cross, no doubt many thought that evil had won the victory. And many of the apostles, no doubt, were thinking that evil had won the victory. But he came forth victorious over evil. And now, he came forth as a conqueror over sin. And now, there is a fountain. There is a place where the vilest of sinners can find forgiveness. It's all because he lives. You see, Jesus Christ entered into death's domain and he conquered it. Death died. There is a sense in which death died when Jesus Christ came forth from the grave. He conquered death. And just as death could not hold him beyond the appointed time, 3 days and three nights, I have an appointed time upon this earth. And unless Jesus Christ comes back first, I have an appointed amount of time in the ground, in the grave. That is my body. But when the appointed time comes, death will not be able to hold that body. Just as death could not hold Jesus Christ. And may I say, because he lives, the gospel stands. Because Jesus Christ lives, there's good news for lost sinners. It is a message of hope. It is a... You know, today the politicians, many of them trying to deliver messages of hope because people need hope today. But the more the politicians talk, the more depressed I get. They have anything but a message of hope. But I don't need their message of hope. Because I have a message of hope. And lost sinners, there's a message of hope today, all because Jesus lives. It's a message of life. It's a message of victory. For those who are trapped in sin, Jesus has made a way to set you free. You're unrighteous, you're guilty, you're condemned before God. But Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, lives. And there is hope for you today, sinner. There is hope. There is victory to be had. It's all because Jesus lives. But I want to give you a little bit of bad news also for you that are lost. Because he lives, and because he forever lives, because he will never die, there is coming a dreadful day of judgment for the unsaved sinner. You will stand before him. You cannot outlast him. He is alive forevermore. You cannot escape him. Read Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. There's coming a day in which all lost sinners will stand before a great white throne judgment, and the one who sits upon that throne is the one who liveth and was dead and is alive forevermore. And lost sinners will look for a place to flee, but there is no place to run. There is no place to hide. You will stand before Jesus Christ. And all will confess that he is Lord. But you will stand there in your sin with no one to mediate between you and God. So there's good news for the sinner. Because he lives, you can be saved today. But if you leave this life without Jesus Christ, the bad news is you're going to stand before him. You will not escape that. Paul wrote, in closing, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, we referred to this verse, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Whatever your now is, whatever it is, can you hear what John heard? I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. Whatever your now is, can you hear that today? Does your life manifest that Jesus Christ is alive? That he's your Savior. That he's your peace. That he's your joy. That he's your comfort. Because he lives, I have the blessings of salvation. Because he lives, I am rich. Because he lives, as we've already said, I can face tomorrow and all the trials and all the tribulations of tomorrow. Because he lives, I can have victory. Because he lives, I do have victory. Because he lives, life is worth the living. But the question today is, it's not a question of whether or not Jesus Christ lives. He lives. The question is, does he live in your heart? Does he reign in your heart? Does he live in your life? Does he reign in your life? Again, if you're here and unsaved, because he lives, there's hope. You say, oh, I don't think so. I've done terrible, terrible things. All have. Because you see, just one sin is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. But because he lives, there is hope. Because he lives, there is a deliverance. There is a rescue that is available today. Because he lives. But also, may I say again, because he lives, do not forget that one day you will stand before him. You say, well, I wish you wouldn't talk like that, and I just soon not think about it. Well, you need to think about it. Because it's going to happen. You need to think about it. You need to think that one day your life is going to end. Your life on this earth, one way or the other, is going to end. And it's getting closer to the end every breath you take. And you need to think about that. Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners, He lives. That's why we come together on Sundays. Because it was the first day of the week that Jesus Christ came out of the grave. And ever since then, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ lives. That is something to celebrate every single day. Jesus Christ lives. The headlines in the paper tomorrow, you may so-and-so has died. And it may be a great loss for the country because someone of importance has died. And their death is going to make a difference in the lives of everybody to some degree. Could you imagine if it were possible for Jesus Christ to die again, never to live again? There would be nothing more tragic because there would not be hope for anyone. I base all of my hope, I base all of my assurance upon the fact that Jesus Christ died for me and arose for me and sits at the right hand of God for me. Not because of anything in me. Not because of any goodness. Not because of any righteousness. Because we have none. Simply because of the grace of God. And I'm willing today to stake all of my eternity on Jesus Christ. And every one of us here today, you are staking your eternity on something. You are depending upon something. You can say all you want to, well, I just don't think about it. I don't believe that. It does cross your mind every now and then. Maybe not too often. And you are depending upon something to make it. You are depending on something to make it to heaven. You are not planning on going to hell. You are planning on escaping hell. You are planning on escaping eternal damnation. And therefore, you are depending on something to do that. I'm willing today to place all of that on Jesus Christ. And I believe He's the only hope that you have. And all other hopes will be disappointed. I may die before this day is over, but I want everyone to know that I place all of my hope, my eternity, on Jesus Christ. And therefore, you don't have to worry about me. There's nothing to worry about. I am safe and I am secure in the arms of Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand, Brother Larry, lead us in singing.
Number 62.